Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1. The scripture says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for another day to be alive. We thank you for the health and strength to be able to get up and be here. Now, Lord, we know there's others that would certainly be here today if they were able. So we pray for them and ask, Lord, that wherever they might be, whatever their situation, that you would please bless them as only you can. And, Lord, I do pray that those of us who have gathered, that you would help us now to be free of distraction in our minds and our hearts so that we can be attentive and listen to the good word of God. I pray that our hearts would be receptive. And Lord, I pray that most of all we would be doers of your word and not hearers only. And Lord, I ask that you please fill me with your spirit. I pray, God, for grace and help and liberty that I can say exactly what you want said. And Lord, we do thank you today that you came into this world, that you lived a sinless life, that you died on an old rugged cross, and that you rose again the third day, and you'll save anybody that will come to you by faith. We thank you. We praise you. Thank you for the joy you give, the hope, the peace, all that we have today because of you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, as most of you know, I am currently teaching verse by verse through Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. And a few weeks back, I actually preached a sermon from our Lord's letter to this church, which is recorded right here in Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 and going through verse 7. And the title for that message I took from verse number 4, which was "Somewhat Against Thee." Somewhat against thee. And whenever I was preparing that message, the Lord began to put on my heart another message. A message that by his grace I'm going to preach this morning. And the Lord used one word in verse number 1 of this second chapter to inspire or put on my heart the message that I'm going to preach. And that is the word Ephesus. The word Ephesus. In fact, the meaning of this word is the title for the sermon, and that is fully purposed. If you read Revelation chapters 2 and 3, as I'm sure most of you have, or if you have simply paid attention to things that I have taught in the past, you know that in these two chapters, the Lord Jesus addresses seven different churches that existed in Asia Minor when John the Apostle was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And each one of these seven churches has a name that has a specific meaning. And Ephesus, as I mentioned already, means fully purposed. And that is what I want to deal with for a few minutes today. And there's really one main thing that I want us to leave here with. One main truth that I hope the Lord will brand on our minds and on our hearts so that we never forget it after this day right now. And that is that God desires, I would go so far as to say God demands that you and I as Christians and churches be fully purposed. Both individually and collectively, God demands that we be fully purposed. He does not, are y'all listening to me? If you listen, say amen. Amen. He does not want us to be wishy-washy, half-hearted, lukewarm, fence-straddling, middle-of-the-road people who are tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine that comes along. That is not what God desires for us or demands from us as Christians and as churches. He wants us to be fully purposed, not partially purposed, not even mostly purposed, but he demands that we be fully purposed. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians and a lot of churches in these last days who are not in that condition. Many Christians and churches today are like Israel's son Reuben. They are as unstable as water. There is no stability. There is no consistency. In fact, the only thing consistent about their lives and about these churches is their inconsistency. That is the one thing above all that you can count on from many Christians and many churches. You can count on the fact that they are going to be inconsistent. They're in, they're out, they're up, they're down, they're back, they're forth, they're here, they're there. One minute they believe this, the next minute they believe that. One minute they stand here, the next minute they stand there. They're constantly vacillating between one purpose or one opinion and another. That's where many Christians and many churches are at today. Or perhaps they try to take a middle of the road, limp-wristed position that they hope and pray will satisfy or appease all parties involved. That's the kind of purpose that the world is seeing from many Christians and many churches today. They're seeing many Christians and many churches who have fallen into all of the junk and the garbage that's being propagated today, and they're just right there in the middle, afraid to take a stand and stay with the stand and put their foot down or draw a line in the sand and say, this is where we are and we're not going to compromise. They're not seeing that. They're seeing these people that's right here in the middle, these churches that are right here in the middle, just doing everything we can not to offend anybody. For goodness sakes, let's don't offend anybody. Let's don't hurt anybody's feelings. If you can get a Christian or a church to take a stand on something anymore, that stand only lasts for a little while until they realize that with the world or with somebody else, their stand is not popular, and then suddenly they begin to crawfish and change their position. That's the kind of garbage that you see today for most Christians, most churches. And I'm telling you this morning, that is not what God demands from his people or from his churches. He wants us fully purposed. He wants us to be like Ruth whenever Naomi tried to convince her to stay in Moab. Y'all remember the story? You read Ruth chapter 1. Ruth's one of my favorite books in the Old Testament. It's one of the two books in the Bible that bears the name of a woman. Wonderful book. If you've never read Ruth, you ought to go home this afternoon and read the book of Ruth. One of the greatest little small books you'll find in your Bible. And in Ruth chapter 1, you find that Naomi tried to convince Ruth to stay in Moab whenever she was going to go back to Bethlehem. But the Bible says there came a point when she left off speaking with Ruth about the matter of staying in Moab. And the reason she left off speaking to her is because, as the Bible says, she saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her. You know what that means? That means that she was fully purposed. It means she had made up her mind. And if you read Ruth chapter 1, you'll see that Naomi threw every excuse in the book at her to try to convince her to stay in Moab. She told her, look, I don't have any more sons for you to marry. And I'm so old now, I probably ain't going to have no more sons. And if I did, you're not going to wait around until they get grown and get old enough to marry. She gave her some legitimate arguments and excuses to stay behind in Moab. But Ruth said this, some of the greatest words of commitment and dedication you'll find in your entire Bible. She said, look, wherever you go, Naomi, is where I'm going to go. Wherever you stay, wherever you lodge, that's where I'm going to lodge. Your people are going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God. And where you die, that is where I'm going to die. Now, folks, that's a woman who was fully purposed. No change in her mind. There was complete commitment and dedication there to following Naomi back to Bethlehem. And I'm telling you, that is what God wants from us as Christians. That's what God wants from us as churches. He wants us to be fully purposed, completely committed, resolved in our dedication to Him. That's what He wants. And to drive home this one particular point, I want to deal with some specifics. I'm going to give you some specific areas where I know this morning that God wants us to be fully purposed. Let me say first of all, God wants His people to be fully purposed in their stand against wrong. In their stand against wrong. Y'all still with me? Still paying attention? In our stand against wrong. Now, that assumes that we're going to actually have a stand against wrong. God help these pitiful Christians and sorry, good-for-nothing, low-down churches that no longer are willing to take a stand against wrong. God help us. But assuming that we have a stand against wrong, God wants us to be fully purposed in that stand. He does not want us vacillating back and forth and taking a position based on people's opinion of our position. He wants us to stand always against that which is wrong. You have a beautiful illustration of what I'm talking about right here in Revelation chapter 2. If you go on down in this chapter to verse number 13, Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, this is where Jesus is addressing the church in Pergamos. And in verse 13, there toward the middle of that verse, he mentions a fellow by the name of Antipas. It says in the middle of that verse, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you. And I want you to look at that name. That's an interesting name. It's one that I like a lot, by the way. That name, Antipas, breaks into two parts. It's made up of two words, actually. The first is anti. You know what anti is? Against. That's why the false Christ is called the Antichrist, because he is against Christ. So the first part of his name means against. Then you got pas, P-A-S. You know what that means? Y'all know what that means? Everything. That's what that means. Everything. So when you take anti and pas and put them together, you know what that means? That means against everything. You know what his stand was when it came to wrong? Obviously, he wasn't against what was right. This was a man who was against, y'all listening, he was against everything that was wrong. If it was wrong, he was against it. Now that's the kind of stand and purpose that God is looking for in our lives as Christians and in our churches. Here's a way of putting it. If God's against it, we ought to be against it. Amen? If God's against it, we ought to be against it. There ought not be any middle of the road. Nothing wishy-washy, nothing half-hearted. We ought not be changing our mind, vacillating back and forth. Listen, folks, if it was wrong 5,000 years ago, guess what? It is still wrong right now. Even though things in our world have changed, so much is different in our world now from what it was years ago, that does not mean that the Word of God has changed. The standard has not changed. If it was wrong back then, it's still wrong right now. And no matter what goes on around us, we should never change our stand against wrong. If God's against it, we ought to be against it. Fully purposed in that. You say, did he stick with his stand? Well, I reckon so. Look at what the Bible says about this fella here. Jesus said, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you. You know what a martyr is? A martyr who is someone who is put to death. Really, you could just say they're murdered for a cause. Because somebody comes along that doesn't agree with their position, doesn't agree with what they believe or where they stand, and say, if you don't change what you believe, if you don't bow down to what we want you to believe, we're going to put you to death. And so they unjustly take a person's life because they don't agree with their position. Here is a man who had a position. Here was his position. If it's wrong, I'm against it. He made no bones about it. Even in an environment, if you read what Jesus says to Pergamos, there was a lot of wicked stuff going on there in that place. And even in the midst of that, where all this stuff's going on, his stand is, if it's wrong, if God's against it, I'm against it. That's the way it is. And sooner or later, somebody come along or a group of people come along and said, Antipas, we don't agree with where you stand. We don't like what you believe. You're just against too much. You're too old school for us. You need to modernize some. Change with the times. Things ain't like they used to be here in Pergamos. We've progressed. We've come along. We have evolved, and we're not where we used to be. We don't stand like we used to stand, and we just don't approve of where you stand. You just seem like you're against everything. Everything we want to do, you're against that. If we bring up anything to do, you are against that. You always got a negative, bad attitude about you. You need to change. You're just propagating hate around here, and what we need more of is love, for goodness sakes. So here it is, Antipas. If you don't change, we're going to get rid of you. Now, what you got to say? What you got to say, Antipas? We don't like where you stand. And either you're going to change or you're going to die. What is your answer now? He says, I stand where I've always stood. If it's wrong, I'm against it. And they put him to death. Does that inspire you? It ought to. That's a real hero of the faith right there, friend. I am so sick, I just want to gag with the people in our world today that folk elevate as a hero. Whoremongers, adulterers, God haters, blasphemers. Oh, but because they can run up and down a court or run up and down a field and catch a ball or do something like that. Oh, great heroes that our children ought to be looking up. I want my son to look up to a man like Antipas. That's who I want him to look up to. Man whose position is, if it's wrong, I'm against it, and I don't care what you do, you can even end my life, but I am not going to compromise my stand against wrong. And he died for that stand. That's a man fully purposed, friend. Are you fully purposed this morning in your stand against wrong, or are you going to change? We don't need to let politics, political ideas, laws that are passed. You do realize that just because man passes a law and says something is legal, that doesn't mean it's right. And there's a lot of laws that have been passed and are continuing to be passed that's calling evil good and good evil. That's what we're doing now. And there's pressure for us to change our stand. Because, by the way, the laws have evolved, and where we once were against this, we're not against that. So y'all Christians and y'all churches, y'all just need to evolve right along with us and change your position, because we have made it legal. Listen, if the Bible says it's wrong, a man can pass 10,000 laws, but it's still wrong, friend. And we don't need to change based on politics. We don't need to change because we're afraid of being politically incorrect. Anybody else in here tired of hearing that nonsense? I am so sick of that. You know what I do? Y'all may not even like this, and if you don't, well, oh well. There's some things about you I don't like, okay? I try purposely to be politically incorrect. I do. I say things sometimes that I know people ain't going to like me to say that. I do it. I'm so tired of it. These mamby-pamby just wear their feelings out here on their sleeve. You say the least little old thing, and they stick their dadgone lip out a mile, and they pooch and whine and pout, and they want to sue you and take you to court and all that other stuff, call you a racist, a bigot, a sexist, a propagator of hate. I am so tired of that nonsense. And I'm going to tell you what God wants us to do. He wants the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to stand up, to take a stand, and start being politically incorrect. That's what God wants from us. Not changing because we're politically incorrect. We don't need to change our stand because of the possibility of persecution. I think about three fellas in the Old Testament. We've talked about them before. They're three more of my heroes of the faith. Y'all remember old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember when they get that big old idol set up for Nebuchadnezzar and say, "If it doesn't bow down to this thing, you're going in the fiery furnace." Boy, what a story. You talk about a story of inspiration. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego don't bow, and they come to them. The king says, look, you don't bow, you're going in. And this is my version of what they said. They said, you do what you will, but we ain't bowing. We believe God can deliver us out of your hand, Nebuchadnezzar, but here's some news for you. Even if he doesn't, we still ain't going to bow. You know what that is? That's a bunch of boys that's fully purposed in their stand against wrong. You do what you will, but we're not going to bow. We're not going to change our position on idolatry. We're going to worship the true and living God. You know what they're trying to get us to do across these United States of America? Don't get me wrong. I love America. Glad to live here. Thank God that I was born in the United States of America. But if you think for one second that God's happy with everything that's going on in this country right now, you're sadly deceived, my friend. And I'm going to tell you one thing that they're pushing and just trying to jam down our throat now, trying to get us to change on. They're trying to get us to accept every religion under the sun and bow down to any and every God that comes along. That's what they do. And if you and I take a stand when we say we're not fooling with that mess, we believe there's one God, Jehovah God, the God of the Bible, and he's the only God we're going to worship and serve, then they're against us for that. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to stand. We're going to be fully purposed. We need to be. And I'm going to say this before I move on. When it comes to our stand against wrong, and I know this is a sensitive subject here, we don't need to change our stand because of people in our family. And the reason I bring that up is because this is what I've seen down through the years, and I've talked to you about it before. I've seen these people that for years and years and years were against something. I stand against that. That's wrong. Until somebody in their family decided to do it. Case in point, people for years and years, homosexuality is wrong. It's an abomination in the eyes of God. It's a sin until their son came out of the closet. Or until their grandson decided he wanted to be queer. Now suddenly they're crawfishing. Well, you know, I was a little too hard on that. I need to have a little better attitude, more tolerant. Mm-mm. What you ought to do is dig in is what you ought to do. And say, I love you, son. I love you, grandson. But what you're doing is a sin against God. Amen. Not change your stand. The time when women would have said, no, abortion's wrong. Abortion's wrong. We're not going to do that until their daughter wanted to have one. Or their granddaughter wanted to have one. And now suddenly they begin to come up with every excuse in the book to justify having an abortion. I know it's touchy. Got real quiet in here all of a sudden. Well, that's all right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter if it's me doing it, you doing it, my family, your family. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And my stand is not worth a hill of beans, friend, if I'm going to compromise that stand just because somebody in my family is involved in that sin. I have to stand with the Bible and with God, irregardless of what people in my family do. Irregardless of what anybody does, God wants us to be fully purposed. Just make up our mind. And I'm not talking about being mean and hateful. I'm just talking about drawing a line, making up our mind, saying, look, if God's against it, I'm going to be against it. That's the stand that he wants us to take. And no matter what anybody says in the years to come, whatever happens by the grace of God, I'm going to continue to stand against that which is wrong. Fully purposed. Let me mention just a few more. I'm about out of time. I'm smelling me some chicken. We ought to be fully purposed in our stand against wrong, but number two, we ought to be fully purposed when it comes to the Scriptures. When it comes to the Scriptures. We ought to be fully purposed when it comes to the inspiration and infallibility of the Word of God. That needs to be our position. We need to believe that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God and never change that. That's what I believe. That's where I stand in my own personal life. I feel very sorry for anybody else who doesn't believe that because I have no earthly idea what they're standing on in their life. If you don't believe that this book right here is the inspired Word of God, what are you standing on? What is your foundation? You have no foundation, friend. You have nothing to stand on if you don't believe that this Bible is the Word of God. And we don't ever need to compromise that. We need to believe in the inspiration and infallibility of the Word of God. We need to be fully purposed when it comes to the identity of the Word of God. What is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God? Do we actually have a copy of it today, or is it some lost translation somewhere that we've never seen? Do we have to depend on theologians and scholars for us to be able to know what God has to say? Or do we actually possess today the true Word of God? Do we? Absolutely we do. It's this King James Bible I'm preaching out of right here. It's the Word of God. Folks, if I didn't believe that, I don't know what y'all would be doing, but I can tell you I wouldn't be preaching this morning. I'm not just blowing smoke. I believe it. I believe if you want a copy of the Word of God, get you a King James Bible and you got a copy of the Word of God. You got it exactly as He wants you to have it. You don't have to do anything but just read it and believe it. You don't have to twist, change, alter anything. Here it is right here, the preserved Word of God for us, the King James Bible. That's my position. I'll say this, and this is not a threat in any way. It's just a simple fact. As long as I pastor here, that will be the position of this church. Amen. Now, in your own personal life, you may disapprove and disagree. When you're at home, you read whatever you will. But here in this church, the standard and the authority is going to be the King James Bible. And if that ever changes, the pastor's going to change. Amen. It's not a threat. It's just a fact. And I want to say this to you. When the day comes that Brother Keith is no longer the pastor of New Hope Baptist Church, which is inevitable, it's coming. If this church alters its stand on the King James Bible, you folk in here that believe it, you run for your lives. I don't care if the thing folds up and there's never a church right here ever again. You do not sit in this church and listen to a man who does not believe the Word of God. You get out of here just as fast as you can, and you go find you a church where they do believe the King James Bible, and you sit there and be fed the Word of God. That needs to be where we stand. We need to be fully purposed when it comes to the inspiration, the identity, the instruction, what it has to say. We need to believe every jot, every tittle, everything it says, and we need to believe it not just as it applies to other people, but as it applies to us. And I'm not just talking about our sin, but anything in our life. Let me give an illustration, I'll move on. I preach every week of my life. And I love it. I enjoy it. I'm thankful that God allows me the privilege to do that. And I'm constantly telling people, thus saith the Lord. It's what the Bible says, what the Bible says, what the Bible says. And I tell people who are going through a trial or tribulation or a hardship, I tell them things like, God's grace is sufficient for you. The Lord will take care of you. He'll give you strength. He'll give you help. He'll give you mercy. He'll provide you a way to escape from your temptation. If you have a need, if you'll trust Him, He'll take care of it. Don't I tell y'all folks that? I tell y'all that all the time. And when I'm telling you that, you know what? I believe it. Until I get in a trial. And then suddenly the things that I've been telling y'all and tell people, I begin to question, is God going to take care of my need? Folks, we need to be fully purposed in what the Scripture says as it applies to us. You might tell other people, God will help you, God will take care of you. Well, when you get in a mess, you know what you need to do? You need to take your own advice. Amen. God will help you, God will take care of you. If that's what we're going to tell others, we need to believe that for our own selves. Here's a third thing. We need to be fully purposed in our stand against wrong. We need to be fully purposed when it comes to the Scripture. We need to be fully purposed when it comes to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Believe every ounce, every shred of truth the Bible reveals about Him. Believe His deity. Believe His sinless life, His virgin birth, His sacrificial death, His glorious resurrection. Believe that He's coming back one day. Amen. Just because He hasn't come doesn't mean He isn't going to come. One day the Lord's going to show up. He's going to show up around here one day. We need to believe, as the Bible says, He's the only way to heaven. Amen. People, and this is important here, we need to be fully purposed on that. Never change that. Because so many people today want us to believe that there are many ways for an individual to get to God. Isn't that what they teach? You know what they say? You just take your path, I'll take my path, and we'll all wind up at the same destination. Isn't that what they say? That's the modernism of the time. That's what it is. That does not line up with the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, I am the door, not a door, not one of many doors. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's only one door to heaven, friend, and that's Jesus Christ. And we need to be fully purposed in that. Never change. Never accept any other way to heaven. We need to be fully purposed when it comes to our service. Here's what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:58. He said, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know what Paul's saying? I'm all in. I'm going to serve him as much as I can and as long as I can. And that's the way you people need to be. He says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So much inconsistency when it comes to serving the Lord. It's so hard to find Christians that you can count on anymore to do the things that they say they're going to do, the things that God expects out of them, and it's so hard to find faithfulness anymore. Y'all realize it is hard just to find saved people that'll be faithful to church anymore. They're going to talk about they're some great Christian, you know. I'm a great servant of God, and they can't even show up for church. And I'm not talking about folk who can't be here. Y'all understand that. I'm not talking about people who simply can't be here. I'm talking about those people who absolutely could be here but choose not to be here. But they are a great servant of God, and you can't show up for Sunday night. You can't show up for Wednesday night. We have revival, you can't show up, but you are a great servant of God, are you? Fully purposed. Get in all the way. Don't just wait out to your ankles or your knees. Get all the way in, friend, and be fully purposed. Your attitude, my attitude needs to be this. As long as I have the ability, I'm going to serve Him as much as I can. That needs to be our mindset. Let me say something to you, and some of you are living this out already. As you get older, there's going to be things you can do now you can't do then. That's reality. And you know what I see? I see Christians across this land throwing away the best years of their life when they could really be serving Him. But instead of serving Him, they're serving the world, wasting the best years of their life. Fully purposed when it comes to service. Here's the last one. This is the point y'all been waiting on. Last one. We need to be fully purposed when it comes to separation. We need to make up our mind that by the grace of God, we are going to stay as clean and free from defilement in this nasty world as we possibly can. Separation. I'm going to give you a biblical illustration. I'll be done. There's a fellow in the Old Testament by the name of Daniel. Y'all remember Daniel? Most of us remember the story of Daniel chapter 6 where he gets thrown in the lion's den because he refuses to give in and quit praying, which is a wonderful story in and of itself, by the way. One of my favorites in the very first chapter of the book where he's getting pressured to give up his separation, where he's being pressured by the king, Nebuchadnezzar. And this is what it says. We're talking about being fully purposed. It says in Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8 that Daniel, listen to me, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or with the wine that he drank. You know what he did? Living in Babylon where there's wickedness prevailing all around him, filth and ungodliness everywhere, he made up his mind, hey, I may have to live in Babylon, but I don't have to be of Babylon. And I'm not going to defile myself. We got to live in this world until Jesus comes or till he calls us home, right? We got to live here, but we don't have to be of here. We don't have to be of this world. We can have some separation. We can be different from people in this world. We can be. Don't you believe God wants us to be? I don't think God wants us just to blend in and live such a life that nobody can tell there's a difference between us and them. He wants there to be some separation, some difference. He wants us to think differently, to talk differently, to dress differently, to go to different places, to act in a different way. He wants our morals and our standards to be different from that of those in this world. Are you purposed this morning? Are you purposed? You made up your mind? Are you steadfastly minded that by the grace of God, you're going to keep going in the right direction? Let's bow our heads for prayer. And as we get ready this morning to have our invitation, I want you to do an honest assessment of your own heart and life. It's not going to do you any good to be thinking about anybody else right now. Just think about yourself. Do an honest assessment of your own life. Where do you stand? Where are you at? Can you see some areas perhaps where you have compromised, where your stand isn't as strong as it once was against things that's wrong, where you've given some ground that you know you should never have gave? Right now would be the time for you to rededicate yourself to being fully purposed for His glory. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, thankful again for this day and this time. I pray you bless and use the message now in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Brother.